We bless the Lord today. When you've had sadness for so long, and then God allows you to receive His joy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Good morning. Receive your joy today. Let's bow. Heavenly Father, as we come today, we thank you for reminders by way of song that no matter what we're facing or going through, that we stay centered. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. There's a word from the Lord today that comes from Philippians, 4th chapter, verses 6 and 7. It reads, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want to talk today from the sermonic title, A Prescription for Worry. A Prescription for Worry. The Mayo Clinic recently came out with some data that ought to shock us, but it may not surprise us, that 70% of Americans are on a prescription drug. And that another 50% or so are on more than one drug. Truth be told, after some point you get one of these pill dispensers that you got to remember Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I used to think that was for the older people. Now, I put my vitamin in there as well. But a lot of what we are receiving are antibiotics, but they're also antidepressants. Some 50 million people experience panic attacks or some type of phobia in their life. We've become an anxious society. The word anxious in the Greek sounds like this. It means to be pulled in different directions. Anxious. It's when we become frustrated, down and out seemingly, throwing the towel in. Have you ever found yourself there?
Yeah.
That you just felt like, I can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
And no matter what folks said to you, it's going to be okay. And that was well-meaning, but you had to struggle in your own spirit just to get through. Mm-hmm. It's easy to tell somebody you ought not worry.
That's right.
But there's not a person in this place who's not concerned about something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, if you are, let me know what pill you're taking. This week I read a book by Christian author Max Lucado entitled Anxious for Nothing, Finding Calm in a Chaotic World. And I found these words that stuck with me. He writes that anxiety and fear are cousins, not twins. Fear sees a threat, anxiety imagines one. The story is told of J. Arthur Rank, a successful movie businessman who would pick Wednesdays for his worry day. He said, I'm going to take all of my worries and I'm going to put them in my worry box. I'm going to write them down, put them in my box on Wednesday, and then when next Wednesday comes around, I'll go back to the worry box. And what he found is by the time he got back to the worry box, those things had been worked out. And so in our own life situations, we have to put those things aside and just trust God. He's given us a prescription for worry. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Philippi to encourage them not to worry. Encourage them not to lose it. And isn't that something that Paul would write about worry while he's sitting in a Roman prison, about to lose his life? But Paul knew something, and he knew someone who could make a difference. Isn't it great that when you know someone, and you know that one who can bring you through any situation in life? I want to pause for 10 seconds for station identification, because I sense that maybe you're not on my street. Come on. Is there anybody who this morning got up worrying? Who went to bed last night about to pull your hair out? Who are already fretting Monday because there's something that waits you? Maybe Monday is your worry day. But thank God for Jesus. He allows us to come into fellowship. I may not show you my whole card, and you may not show me your, but somebody is worrying about something. Even as we speak. Paul knew about worry because when he was Saul, he used to inflict pain on Christians. Yes, he would give them anxiety, cause them to worry. Why? He would go out and round them up for a fee. But today he writes a prescription to the church. Can I include us in on the letter as well? And I believe what he's saying to them is to be content. To be clear and to be calm. Verse 6 of Paul's letter says, do not be anxious about anything. Are you kidding me? This is a command. It's not a recommendation. He's saying, don't worry, but find yourself contented. And to be content is to be in a place of satisfaction, to be comfortable, to be at ease, to be chilled, and not to be freaking out. Anybody ever freaked out? I mean, you just lost it. Yeah, I know you know the Lord, but there came a situation in your life, you just lost it. You apologize later, but life had gotten so tough for you, and you may have inflicted it upon someone else that you apologize to, but life got rough and you were anxious about your situation. It says, don't be anxious about anything. What's on your anything list? I show you mine, you show me yours. There's always something that causes us to be anxious. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's the job. Maybe it's your health, but it causes you to worry just a little bit. And so Paul says, don't be anxious. Just be content where you are. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew 11, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what he commanded. That's what he promised. Matthew 6:25, he says, now look at the birds in the air. Are they worrying about anything? I mean, they know there's going to be a worm out there every day that they can find. And we seemingly see them in the coldest of days and they're still flying. Amen? He takes an example of what's happening around and says, it's going to be okay. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that what he who hath begun a good work in me will do what? He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That you just got to be content. Got to be still and know that he is God. It's hard, but it's possible. 1 Corinthians 15:58, I love when Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor in the Lord is not in vain." The Bible is filled with so many assurances. That if you want to get some pick-me-up, go to the Word. If you want some encouragement, open that Bible. And you will find that the Word of God will help you get through your situation. It will allow you to be content. Amen? I dare you, double dog dare you, to pick up the Word and say, "I'm going to get me some food today for my soul, right next to my eggs and toast, to help me to be content throughout my day." It's the prescription. Not just being content, but being clear. It says, "But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Be clear. Don't beat around the bush. Be clear about what it is that you are facing. And you can say, "Lord, you already know." Yes, he does. But he wants you to come and to talk to him. It really is about you supping with him. Of course he knows that situation. He knew it before you did. He knew you were coming into it, but he says, "Come on, make your request. Give me your list. Let me know what you're facing." And this again is a command. What is it today that is causing you to worry? You know, worry shows on your face. You be smiling, "I'm doing, praise the Lord, I'm doing great." And you about to fall out. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. And you struggling all night. Amen? It's something about your countenance that shows where you are, but be real clear about what you're facing. What is it that's causing you to worry? Identify it. Nail it down and take it to the Lord in prayer. There's an old saying that says, if you're going to pray, don't worry. If you're going to worry, don't pray. That's some old school stuff there. But it says to present your request. To bring it to him. To make your case. To say, "Lord, here's what I'm going through. I know you know it, but I come because I believe that you can make a difference." Any testimonies today about you bringing God something and he brought you through it? I'm not talking about perimeter stuff, general stuff. "I got the green light all the way to work today." No, I'm talking about deep stuff. Stuff that God brought you out of and brought you through. And you can say, "God, I know it was you." That's a part of growing up. Is that you want to be an adult? You take on adult stuff. I know y'all said it, parents. Oh, you start getting them bills and stuff. But thank God that when you're rooted in Jesus Christ, you can bring your request, not demands, your request. Present it. James 4:2 says, "And when you ask, do not receive sometime." You don't, because why? You ask with the wrong motives. Trying to trick God. That you may spend what you get on your own. It's all about me. It might be a selfish prayer. Because all you worry about is me. I don't care about nobody else. It's me standing in the need of prayer. But you know what? Come straight. What is your motive? "God, bless me with this." And then what you going to do? "Bless me with that." And what you going to do? "Bless me with this job." And what you going to do? You going to give back to me after I bless you? Well, I may as well talk tithing. It was already in my spirit. Amen. "That bring ye the tithe into the storehouse, that it might be meat in mine house. and see if I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there won't be room enough for you to receive it. I dare you to try me, he says. I know your money is funny, but try it. I know your bills are due, but try it. Be real clear about what it is that God has for you. Colossians 3 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. And then it ends about thanksgiving. Don't just get up and I said, oh, okay, all right, I'm gone. Thank you. It says, with thanksgiving. That's just good spiritual manners. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Clear. Be content, but also be calm. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love the text and the scriptures because they are so clear. And they meet our situation. Be calm. Be chill. Not too excited. And this is a promise. He says, if you do this, there will be this peace that you won't even be able to get. Like, why are you so chill? Because God got this. Why are you so laid back? Hey, you know, don't need me to worry. The Lord is going to make this thing out, isn't he? Won't he do it? In the Hebrew, the word is shalom. You be around our Jewish brothers, you hear them say, shalom. That means peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, he will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. That mind is a terrible thing to waste, isn't it? That mind will be over here 1 minute and over there the next minute and over here the next minute and out there and you have to bring yourself back in and over here. But if you keep your mind, stay on him. Think about him and call on him. Sometimes it's just you in the car. Say, Lord, help me. Because you need him right then. I need thee every hour. Told his disciples, peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth. Oh, world peace is cheap. It'll expire. But this peace will cause you to get through. These things I've spoken to you that you might have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. In the world, folk gonna mess with you. In the world, folk gonna double cross you. In the world, folk gonna stab you in your back. But in me, you've got peace. Anybody feel that peace today? Man, if you feel the peace of God, stuff can be building up and piling up and the bridge about to go in. You say, thank you, Lord. I know you're going to work this thing out. Why? Because you've done it before. See, once he's brought you through one situation, then you know what he can do. You got a history and a resume with what God can do in your life. You recall that time when his disciples were all big and bad on that boat and the boat starts shaking. Somebody said, I think we ought to go get Jesus, who was in the hinder part of the sleep, taking him a nap. Now, I like that kind of Jesus. I'm a nap person. Amen. And said, well, somebody get him. And they knocked on the door. He rose and said, peace, be still. He commanded the wind to be quiet. He commanded the storms. Y'all need to chill out. And he'll do that in your life. He'll command the things that are after you. He'll just speak to them. He'll command that problem you are facing. He'll talk to it. It gives you peace knowing that God has got this. Oh, I'm glad about that today. Peace that will guard your hearts and minds. I thought, now, that's a little peace at the end there. Because once you get that peace, don't think the enemy ain't going to be saying, okay, you peace for now. But he says, I want you to guard and protect my heart and my mind. Praise God. Well, thank God for his prescription. You got yours filled out yet? You got to fill the prescription now. Second Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves in prayer and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I will heal their land. This is bigger than Bobby McFerrin saying, don't worry, be happy. Oh, that was a big hit in 88. Y'all know it. Don't worry. But oh, that's a nice song. But then when life started getting rough, that song wouldn't do. If that was a song that would do, it was Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It was a song that says, I know that my Redeemer lives. And every now and then you've got to have a song in your heart. Amen. There's some things you've seen, things that God has brought you through. I love this hymn that's written by somebody who's unknown. That means he can't find out who wrote it. He says, I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of my Savior telling me to still fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Oh, no, never alone. That sometimes when you feel alone, you're not really alone. Why? He's with you always, even to the end of. I just took my medication today. I took my joy pill. I've taken my peace pill. I've taken my pill to know that everything is possible. There's a prescription, and it's prayer. Be content. Be clear. And be calm. That is the word of God has already blessed you. Come on, stand all over this place today. Don't let your worry get the best of you. Man, I think you've shaken off a couple things already that were bogging you down. Just take it to the Lord in prayer. He'll make a way. In fact, he's doing it right now. How many believe that today?
Yeah.
On your behalf. No complaints here. How many believe that today? Any satisfied folk today? More to me. My.
I'm satisfied.
Sing it, Brother Barnes.
With the way that he cares for me.
My. Any witnesses today?
My.
even right now. The Lord Jesus Christ as the heavenly pharmacist. He has written your prescription and he wants to fill it. In fact, he wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. As you come today, maybe you've got the prescription, but you put it on the dresser somewhere, allowed it to expire. Today, you can get to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, if you believe that, the Bible says thou shalt be saved. That's pretty clear to me. I believe you sent him. That is your son. I believe that he died. And I believe that he rose. If I can get that into my spirit and my heart and my soul,
yeah.
I've got promise of life eternal. As you bow those heads very quickly today, Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for your word.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
It is so clear. It's so inspiring. It's so uplifting. It reminds us of what is possible with a life in you. If there's one person today, God, only you know that, who has never made the decision, never took the step, never said, I'm a sinner. Today, God, touch that heart and bring them to you. They've been fighting and excuses and rationalizing, but God, today, hey, there might be a breakthrough in that soul today, God. Save them as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen.